The Magic Podcast. Hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry. Where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
And it's been a couple of weeks. We tried to do it weekly, but, you know, Lloyd needed a big, fat, massive shit. So unfortunately, it didn't happen. but, you know, whatever. We're here. We're back. Look, we kind of think of this podcast now as, you know, like that favorite.
It's like a family funeral. It's like you just meet up every once in a while. For a good occasion.
Yeah. Craig and Lloyd, we put fun in funerals. it's more like put the fun in dysfunctional, to be perfectly honest. But hey-o, that's the way it is.
How are you? Well, it's only been a week. We only didn't do last week's one.
Actually, I think it was 2 weeks.
Oh, who's counting? Anyway, fuck it. How have you been, man?
I'm good, buddy. I've been doing my favorite thing, arguing on the Magic Cafe. What's not to love about that? You know,
honestly,
there's nothing I like better than to roll my sleeves up and get down and dirty with the best.
What have you been arguing about?
I've got my new tricks just been launched, Superimposed, which is the collector's routine. Obviously, I know you've seen it. And
I feel like I'm responsible for you creating that trick because I told you how much I fucking hate the collector's plot. Yeah, and then the next thing you found, you've actually made a very fucking good version of it.
Yeah, it kills, and the second phase is just insane. And, you know, anyone who's seen it, that, you know, there's a ton of people who've seen it that just like, oh my God, this is one of the best things you've done. It's completely self-working, and I absolutely love it. But, you know, there's some people on the cafe that have pulled me up over a word that I use in the trailer at one particular point, and they've said that...
Explain it to me, because I am uninitiated.
Okay, so basically, in the trailer, the way that Dalton created the trailer is I basically narrate the routine, and as I narrate it, you see the live performance footage of me doing it to various different people. So I say the first, four aces are put under a spectator's hand, three people pick a card, they're lost into the pack, they put them into the pack themselves, there's no control, you spread and show that the cards have gone, they can check the cards, which they can. And then you pick the card, the aces up from under their hand, you deal, and the three selections are there in between the aces. Boom, phase one, brilliant. And then I say in the trailer now, you know, most collectors stop there. We're only just getting started. For the second phase, we put the aces back underneath the spectator's hand. We take the selections, we put them face up into a face down pack. And then you snap your fingers and you spread out the deck. And I say in the trailer, the cards have gone. You spread the deck face down, and the face up cards that were there in the deck have gone. The spectator can check, and that's the issue that they're having with it. That I say that when the deck is spread face down, the spectators can check. Because, this is the frustrating thing. I've been very open and honest on the thread. Like, it's reached three pages now, and I'm literally just giving away the method in the thread. I'm basically answering everybody's questions and being completely honest and saying, yeah, this is what happens here, this is what happens here. A couple of people have said, well, hang on, can you really spread the deck? Because won't they, because it's not a magician fool, or it's just a really fucking commercial piece of magic. Somebody said, wouldn't you see the aces face up in the deck if they turn the deck and spread them out face up? And I was like, yeah, but nobody ever wants to look at the deck face up because you put the three selections face up into a face down deck.
Are they arguing over the use of the word check?
Yes.
Right. Do you say in that trailer at any point the cards have actually gone?
Do you say they can examine
the deck?
No, I don't say they can examine the deck. I say they can check.
The word, right, okay, maybe I'm just maybe I'm just the majority here, but the word check to me is a very different word, specifically in product advertising for magic, compared to examine, like with a fine tooth comb type of wording.
Yeah, I didn't
check
say
in to me is like you can check the deck, and that normally means you there obviously is something hiding in there, but they can have a look over it.
Yeah.
If you said they can examine the deck, or they can keep the deck, or they could pick it apart card by card, and if that's not the method, if they can't do that, that would be false advertising. But it's the same with what's that trick you had with the blank deck? I can't remember. It's like your biggest trick ever.
Quantum deck.
Quantum deck. I can't think of the fucking word. That deck, well, that can be examined. That is put in the hands of the audience. But you can say freely with that, the deck can be checked and examined. And it's true, even though there's something dirty in there. With this one, I'm guessing the method is... can I say the two letters to you?
Yeah, go on.
RS.
PD.
Oh, I don't even know what that means. You type it in the window. Okay.
Which all obviously right. Operates differently. You know, it creates a different.
Yeah, there's different properties to that, but the essential core working of that means that I can't say it without exposing the method. Well, fuck it. We're on the Magic Podcast. Let's just talk. Let's just touch on it.
Yeah.
Those cards are not actually invisible. They are there, but they are hidden.
Yeah, but their issue with it is the way that the routine is structured is that you in the second phase, you put the cards, the selections, face up into a face down deck. You spread and you show the decks face down and the face up cards have gone. If you picked up the deck face up and spread the deck face up at that point, you would see aces in the deck because that's part of how the method works.
If you went as far as to try and overprove the deck was clean.
Yeah. If they picked up the deck and they looked through it face up, they would see that they would see that three of the aces are in the deck. So their issue is, I'm saying you can check. Because I spread the deck face down, they've seen the ace. They've seen the selections go face up. You spread the deck face down, and there's no face up cards there, and they can check that face down spread. They're saying, well, that's a lie because they can't pick up the deck and spread the deck face up because they would see aces, and the aces are meant to be under the spectator's hand. Now, my thing on this,
I think it's very fair what you're saying, and I'm not just saying this. If I'm reading this as some, say somebody released this trick and it was somebody that I fucking hated. If they told me you can't examine the deck, but they can check it.
Yeah.
Even my worst enemy, I would say that's fair.
Yeah, because
we understand magic. There's two other things I want to say on this because I'm going to go out on a limb on one of them. But one of the smartest magic consultants working today is Rory Adams. Right, the owner of the One Ahead blog, and he taught me an amazing lesson years ago. And I don't know I'm pretty sure he didn't think of it on his own, but it's just one of those things that when it's told to you, it's like an aha moment. And he said that the best way to obscure if you're going to make something vanish, you shouldn't just let it be gone because they're going to look all over you for it. If you make it reappear somewhere, then they're suddenly not going to look for where the dirty part of it is. They're going to try and figure out how did it get there or work out how did it get there. I'm paraphrasing really badly. And that gives you so much more freedom. And that, like, for example, if you vanished a coin with a raven and the coin reappeared under someone's drink's glass, in that situation, because the raven's gone up your sleeve or in your coat, you can let people have a quick check that it's not up your sleeve or in your coat because of the way it works. You know, you can flash your coat open briefly, you can lift your sleeve in a certain way and roll it back to show it's not up your sleeve. And then but all the attention is then redirected to where the coin goes and they stop looking or generally stop looking. So they get a brief check over the environment of where it's disappeared from. And the same is true for this. If you said they can examine that deck and take it home with them, that would be a bold-faced lie. But you're not saying, as far as I know, I haven't seen the trailer, but I don't think you're saying that. But the second point is, and this is your fault, are these the same people on the Magic Cafe that try to derail everything you post?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. It's always the same group of people. Like, I even made a comment. One of them popped up on page two, and I was like, oh, hello. I wasn't expecting you until page three. Welcome to the thread.
Well, it's your, I mean,
the you thing know, is, well,
you can't educate pork.
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating. I'm one of the only creators that I know of that actually actively goes on the cafe and answers any and all questions. And it's frustrating because they're making statements about the product without seeing the tutorial, because on the tutorial, I actually talk about this very thing that they're talking about. And there's two or three different ways of actually performing the effect and actually having them being able to look through the cards at the end if you want to. There's two or three. The first way is you bring the aces out from a packet trick wallet and you say, hey, I've got this deck of cards, but I've also got these four cards from a different deck. I'm going to show you something with these four. They've got magical properties. And then when they spread the deck face up at the end, the aces are there, but it makes no difference. The second way is doing it in a slightly different way where the second phase, instead of superimposing, becomes a transposition, which is just as strong as the cards across element. But no, they're not. They haven't seen the tutorial. They don't know. They don't understand about the psychology. What you talked about with Rory, the psychology of the vanish, and then immediately they know where they're going to be. So they focus on that packet under their hands. And that's the part that can be examined. I go through all of that, but they don't see that. They just see this one word and they think there's an issue. And off the back of that, then there's a million things that they say. Oh, I hate it how Craig hypes up his tricks. Well, hang on a minute. I never talked about this trick before it dropped. I didn't start the thread on the Magic Cafe. And the only time I've been on there is to answer people's questions. So how is that hype? Then one guy comes on and says, oh, it's a terrible trick because Craig has to hype up the audience to get fake reactions. I'm like, what?
Fucking
you've seen me perform in the real world. It just gets ridiculous at that point. You know what I mean?
This is a you problem, because those same fucking idiots come on every thread of everything you post, every trick that goes out, and when they have no argument against you, when they don't have anything that they can justifiably stand behind that they think is a negative, they just start throwing shit at the walls.
Yep.
And you can't, like, what's that that saying? If you try and play chess with a pigeon, it's just gonna knock over all the pieces and then shit on over the board and then say it's won. You know, you can't educate pork meat. So it's a good. If you had said the deck is fully examinable and they can keep it, you'd be a bastard. You know, you'd be in the wrong. And if you'd spent 10 months hyping this, well, you rightfully should have, could have, because I do think it's a good trick, and I really hate the plot itself. But you didn't. So all you've done is gone on there, been honest, but it's again, it's drawn into the fight that they want. When that's not the real issue isn't the trick and the things you've said, the honest things you've said. It's the people that are starting the arguments again and again and again and again.
How many creators do you know that like just refuse to go on the Magic Cafe? Like, I'm one of the few creators that goes on.
I don't know anyone. I don't know hardly anyone that goes on there. I'll dip my toes every now and then, especially if I catch someone in a corker, but very rarely.
Yeah.
It's not worth the time and the effort.
And I've been making videos this last year exposing how every trick I've brought out is done. Like, I've been doing videos going, hey, Nightshade exposed. Hey, here's Evoke exposed. Hey, here's Mind Blocks exposed. Like, if you're going to go after anyone for faking a trailer and being dishonest, I, there's a lot you can go after me about. There's a lot. I am a fucking idiot. But not for that. Frustrating.
Well, this is it. Don't let it get you, man, because when you have the moral high ground on something, and it's really egotistical to say that, but when you do have the moral high ground on something, just laugh them off.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
It says more about the people saying this stuff and their attitude than it does about you and your effect.
Thanks, man.
Those who can't. Anyway.
Sis, how are you, other than that? Have you been up to anything? Because that's all I've done, argued on the internet.
What have I been up to? Well, life's really zen.
Yeah?
That's really good. You've been creating magic behind the scenes. Just spending, like, it's been nice weather, so I've just been spending loads of time on the beach, having beach fires, going out with my kid, getting ice creams, fattening up. I'm doing a lot of running, again, to try and combat the ice cream shit. my YouTube's doing good. I'm, like, just about almost at 100,000 subscribers now. What am I at? to check. 98,400. So that's probably going to tick over in the next
get your black
2 weeks or something. Probably, hopefully. That'd be cool. Yeah, I'm just in a zone of like, I've been talking about this to you for the last year, but I really feel like I need to hire an editor or something, you know, to delegate stuff. I was actually thinking about it. I went for a walk this morning and I was like, oh yeah, because that's the one thing you do so well is that you bring in a good group of people and you delegate work that's like time consuming that can be done by the people to help you.
Here's the problem with that with you. You are a perfectionist and you like doing everything yourself because you know how you want it to look and you don't think that somebody else will be able to get it to the standard that you want it at.
I do trust Twitter. Like the latest trailer that we got for, should we say that? Fuck it, I'll say the word. The Infinity Deck. Yeah. Infinity Project. I was happy to let Murphy's handle that trailer. And you guys film it, you know, with me there and stuff. And that's a rarity because I was so thinking. And it's come out really good, like really, really good.
Matt has done an incredible job on that trailer.
So it's such a hard trick to convey because there's so much that can be done, you know. But he's, and your performances are just obviously just make it so, so brilliant. And the effort you put into it. But normally I wouldn't sort of allow that to happen just because I am control freak.
You like
I'm a control freak with that.
Absolutely everything a lot of the time.
I'm just very particular about the stylization of stuff, and it's probably stupid to think of that. And I'm coming to terms with the idea, the concept of like it is, you know, there's a certain point at which that it's a bit like I may spend like an hour on something design wise that nobody will ever notice, but I know it's there, and at what point does it become counterproductive? You know, like if I'm spending an hour focusing on a detail which is insignificant to the average viewer, then that hour could have been more productive. So I'm really at the point where it's like, I think I need to like hire a couple of people. I was there like a year ago, and then I tried something with someone, and I was just like, no, I need to do it my way. So I need to like run a training course with whoever's going to be the editor, you know.
And would you want them to work off site remotely, or? Are you looking for somebody in Wales?
If it was someone who could film and edit, it would be ideal. But the reality is that's not going to be possible around here. So it's probably going to be off. And the only problem is that like I'm so quick at editing. I have to come to grips with that whoever's going to edit my stuff. Like the upload time alone, like to upload all the raw footage is going to take probably an hour to 2 hours. Normally, the full trailer, the full videos are edited by me in about an hour. So by the time it even takes to upload to someone, then they got to download it all. Then they got to edit it. It could be like a, you know, 24, 48 hour turnaround. Whereas I would have had it done.
But you could just by spend 3 o'clock. A couple of days a week just batching a bunch of shit and then send it over.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's what I was thinking then. The alternative is like I could film, you know, I could come up with 7 tricks in 7 days and film them and set them off into the wild and spend the next 7 days filming. So I don't know. I've got to figure it out in my head. Anybody's a good editor and is fast and can take direction from me. God, that sounds like I'm asking too much already.
You want somebody who's fast, who's good, that will do what you tell them to do.
Yes.
I heard Steven Spielberg's looking for a job. Do you want me to reach out to him?
Mate, he wouldn't cut it.
You arty party.
But yeah, no, everything's good on this end of stuff, man. I feel like I'm creating more magic now. I'm more in magic than ever, but not in the not for the magic industry side of things, just for the pure art of it. Ridiculous as that sounds.
Well, the problem is, and it might be worth talking about this. I don't know. I don't know how you feel. We've never talked about this ever. But sometimes I feel as a creator, genuinely, I kind of think, why do I bother with this? I don't need to do this. Why am I? I could create it and just keep it for myself. You know, I enjoy creating for the community. When you get like, creating a trick is meant to be fun. Releasing it is meant to be that really exciting time where finally everyone gets a chance to see what you've been working on for however long you've been working on it. And as a creator, one of the most exciting things for me is knowing that there's somebody in another part of the world that's performing a trick that I've created that's having an impact on people that I will never meet. And that's because of something that I've dreamed up in my bedroom or my living room or something. But when it becomes really hard work, like superimposed, because I'm having to just argue with people on the Magic Cafe just constantly. I was up till like 1 a.m. doing that yesterday. And I say arguing, there's no arguing on my side. I'm answering people's questions and I'm trying to be as respectful as possible. And it's kind of like, well, why am I putting myself through this? Because I don't need to put myself through this. And I kind of then say to myself, well, I know why I do it. I do it because there's a ton of people out there that like my work that will never go on the Magic Cafe. And, you know, they really appreciate all the time and effort that's put into it. It just gets hard sometimes. Do you know what I mean? It gets to the point.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just like, you know, with all the internet battles and all of that, you know, I mean, like, you know, the thing is, it's
a different world for the magic product industry. These are only the surrounding community of it these days, because the internet trolls. Like, don't get me wrong, there are some tricks that are fucking terrible, and I'm sure I've released a stinker of a trick or two in my time as well, thinking that it was good, but it used to be that secrets were much more highly guarded. Like 20 years ago, people would buy, thousands of people, tens of thousands of magicians would buy a download on the pass, the Herman pass, the classic pass, because it never been seen before. And people would love watching and learning it, you know, seeing masters sort of do this stuff. The world's changed and it's not going back. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You can't put the feathers back in the pillow. And that's a good thing. And it's, you know, and there are negatives to it as well. But the other thing is that everybody has a platform now. And those trolls that have always existed, the people that would normally just go to their local magic club and slag off an amazing trick, they now get the same spotlight as everybody else. So these days you put out a good piece of work like you would have done 10, 20 years ago, and as much as first of all, everyone's sort of seen everything under the sun now, but secondly, the same like resentment and animosity from the minority, it still exists, but now it's amplified by social media or platforms like the Magic Cafe. So people are creating and sharing amazing work. And don't get me wrong, there are some terrible tricks out there, and there's some terrible creators out there. And if not, I think the quality of magic has vastly improved in the last 10 years alone, just in terms of build quality. Like, you look at some of the releases from 50 years ago, you know, and you start to work your way through the decades, some of the things that were the magic product community, product release industry has never been more higher quality as a whole on a general basis. Some stuff is terrible, but generally, the quality has never been better, right? We're in a golden era of magic product releases. The honesty has never been better. I've been a big advocate for this for the last 7 to 8 years, releasing a tutorial for free of a product that they can't create at home. So the honesty in magic tutorials on the whole has never been more forthright. The quality overall has been better. And the accessibility has never been better than ever before. And at the same time, with the rising tide bringing up all the ships in a way, it seems like magic products are more hated, more scrutinized, and more like sort of trolled upon than ever before at the same time. And it's really strange because we're in a golden era in terms of how good the most things are. And I think when you take a step back and look at it, if you were to just remove the trolls from the equation, then you realize how fortunate so many of us are to be able to get, like, imagine if you look at the line of products that are out on the market these days, right? Imagine that stuff was around 15 years ago. We would, like, some of the top selling, say there's like top 20 tricks of this year so far. any one of those tricks would have been, if you released that like 15 years ago, potentially would have been a bestseller for like 5 years consistently after that point. You know? Yeah,
very true.
And now some of them get, even the best ones, one person can have a beef with the creator or a personal issue with the creator, and then go on a tirade to try and completely dismiss and pan the product, the idea, the invention, the build, the quality, everything. And sometimes that can stick.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, when you got people like going to war over the word check on a product which is really good. If I bought that trick, I would be such a happy customer because it does exactly what you say it does. You can go off and perform it in exactly the way you do in the video. It's a great release. It's a brilliant release, and everything you get with it is really good quality. It's got some that PD that you said is a great addition, yeah, or update to something that most people already know and love. And then, yeah, and then you've got people just who have a personal vendetta against you, by the sounds of it, trying to rubbish it for reasons that aren't viable. Fucking strange. Yeah. It's a strange world. So you got to sort of internally mute. Like I do. I know if I see someone that is normally well spoken. No, it doesn't even have to be well spoken. But somebody that's got a level head on their shoulders who doesn't go out of their way to cause drama and nitpick. And if that person says, actually, I don't like what you've done with this product for X, Y, Z reason, and I think I stop and think, holy fuck, how can I learn from this? And what can I do to make it right?
Yeah.
But when it's the same people over and over again that you know have personal issues and they're nitpicking a word in an honest trailer, you've got to just mute them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I know it's really hard to do that. But, you know, and it's taken me years to realize and come to that conclusion.
But when
you do, it makes it so much easier. Like now, I don't have any concerns putting a product out because I know those same people are coming for me. Whatever comes out next.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know, and if you see a tsunami come in, would you rather be on the beach not expecting it to happen, or would you rather be flying away in a helicopter? When you know it's coming towards you, it's so much easier to just not get wet.
That's very true.
Like their wives.
It was so, 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 so professional and so inspired. Every magic podcast this at the end. Oh, dear me. Dear me. Yes. Well, have you got anything that you know of? You know, let's use your connections in here with Murphy's. Is there anything coming out that we should know about that, like...
How the fuck would I know?
I don't know. I thought you might do. I thought you might do.
As I say, I was going to frantically race to look at the homepage, look at the Murphy's website and the Penguin website and stuff. But I don't know, man. It's strange because, like, anything I release these days is just because it's something that I haven't shared on YouTube, and as I've been performing it, it's been getting great reactions, and I've shared it with a few magicians. They start going wild for it, and then I realize it should become a product. And aside from that, I perform my own material, you know what I mean? As a rule, like the general bulk of it. So I don't really keep my finger on the product industry as much as I used to.
Well, I can talk about a couple of things that I know of that's come out or that
are currently.
I mean, let's talk about a couple of things, shall we? So, one thing is, have you seen Kev G has just bought out a new cube related product with, oh my gosh, what's the guy's name? The guy that did Overdraft.
Paul Fowler?
Paul Fowler, right? Forget his name. I'm so sorry, Paul, if you're listening. Yes, Paul Fowler and Kev G have bought out.
Instantly sounds brilliant because both those are proper workers and very creative guys too.
Well, they've bought out a thing called Cubify. So basically, it's a lettering system. It's like stickers that you stick onto any normal 3x3 cube. And when you do, it looks like there's letters on each side. And it's really interesting. You really have to watch the trailer, but basically, one of the core effects is you have somebody select a music track, and then you have them mix up this cube, and you take the cube back, and you use the cube to reveal the artist of the song, then reveal or predict their song, and then magically solve the cube as well. It's basically letters on a cube that allow you to do like word reveals and name reveals.
Wow. It's
really interesting.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and you use any cube. You just get the stickers and you get a 2.5 hour tutorial explaining how to do everything.
Wow. That sounds pretty cool, actually. And I can imagine the way those guys perform, that it's an absolute barn burner.
Yeah, it's really good. And I've got one, actually. Kev sent me one earlier so that I could review it. But it's really smart. It's on pre-order at the moment. Or I think it might have just come off pre-order and it's actually now available. But it's been on pre-order for a few days. But it's really smart. Really, really smart.
Are you going to learn it and perform it on your channel?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And Ryland loves it, as you can imagine, because he's all into his cubes. So that's something that's come out that a lot of people are raving about. Also, Murphy's have bought out, which is quite nice because they've not been available for a long time. They've bought out no bounce balls in a variety of different colors. Surely you know about this.
Oh, do you know what? I have seen some behind the scenes on that. That just some of the ideas, and I don't know if they are on the project, but because I don't like the plot. I mean, it's a cool plot, like it's fun, but I wouldn't do it. Javier showed me a bunch of handlings that were fucking brilliant. He does one like, because there's a black one, so he has a Sharpie, pulls the lid off, bounces it on the floor, catches it, and puts it back on again. And I don't know if it's in the project, but the best one, I answered a call to him, know nothing about this project because it's in the hands of somebody else on the team. And he was like, watch this. Oh no, he answered and he's like, oh, my headphone's not working. He pulled an AirPod out, bounced it, and then put it back in. And the thing that made it work so well is like, if you pull one AirPod out, there's a setting on your phone, it's normally automatically added on. If you pull one AirPod out, it will connect to your computer speakers. And when you put it back in, it will automatically reconnect. So when he pulled the AirPod out, it disconnected and I could hear the difference in sound. He bounced it and I heard the bounce from the echo of the room. So it sounded like I could hear the AirPod. And then he put it back in and it reconnected. And because I didn't know he was doing a bounce, no bounce thing, for a couple of moments, I was like, what the fuck? Did you just fucking bounce your AirPod on? Like, it legitimately looked real what he was doing. And then he's like, oh no, dude, it's the bounce, no bounce balls. It's so much fun. And then for the first time in my life, I was like, I'm wearing AirPods right now. I fucking wear them for at least 2 to 3 hours a day. I was like, do you know what? I would do the shit out of that all day. Just walking around, oh, I'm sorry, my head, boom, but oh, that's better, working. Like on an offbeat, super magic moment, kind of like, what the fuck moment. Yeah, great.
It shows you the difference between me and Javier. He comes up with beautiful, clever presentations. I love Bounce No Bounce for one particular reason. I do a lot of military bases and I do a lot of corporate events where it's a bit of like, hey, come on, mate. And I've literally for years used no bounce bounce balls in that environment. And when I walk up to a bunch of squaddies in the military ball where everyone's getting wankered, I'll say, hey, have you seen these balls before? It's a libido check to see who's got, you know, who's got the biggest sex drive. You, mate, why don't you try? You bounce it. And he bounces it. The higher it bounces, the bigger the sex drive. The guy bounces it and it goes right up there. And you go, oh, amazing, mate. Obviously, you're a stallion. You're a fucking stud. And somebody will come forward and go, oh, let me. I can do it better than that. And you just give him the other, you switch and give him the other ball. And it just drops to the floor and just hardly goes up anywhere. And you go, well, you know, says it all, doesn't it, mate? And then you switch it back. And give it to the other guy. Honestly, you could do a 15 phase fucking Di Vernon Sympathy of the Rings routine, but you go into the right venue and you just do that with a bounce, no bounce ball. That's what people are going to be talking about.
Yeah, it's so good. So yeah, that's out now, is it?
Yeah, it's out now. Yeah, you've got them in lots of different colors. There's yellow, there's white, there's black, there's red. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, so that, I knew that was like on the cards at some point, but I think that's actually for the first time anyway, at least for me. What have shown me was super, like something I would actually do with an offbeat thing. Any other products out?
Yeah, well, we've also got Superimposed, but we've talked about that in great detail. We've got, I'll tell you what we've got. John Armstrong. Are you a John Armstrong fan?
Oh, dude, he was the one of the first lecturers I ever saw way back in 2007.
Okay, well, John Armstrong has brought out what looks to be an absolutely incredible book. He's brought a book out called How to Win by John Armstrong. In How to Win, John Armstrong shares thoughts, theories, and techniques to make your stand-up magic capable of winning over even the toughest crowds, including tested routines that you'll love to perform as much of your audiences will love to watch. A great resource for both stand-up magic pros and those just starting their journey to the stage. A fun read book about making your stand-up magic better for both beginners and professionals. Easy to follow and practical advice in making your show more engaging and entertaining. Fun to perform and watch routines that reinforce the concepts taught in the book. And he's got some incredible quotes from people like Levant and Chris Philpott, Taylor Hughes, Ken Scott, Ian Kendall, Brent Braun. I get asked on my channel more than anything else people say to me, like, how can I get into stage magic? How can I get into performing on stage? Well, this book looks like it's going to be brilliant. I can't wait to read this.
I do remember when I first seen him, it was the first time I was like, it was the first lecture I went, the first convention I went to, was it second? Maybe first was it? I don't know. But it was the first, I remember thinking like, that is a professional, good magician. Like, not professional as in the sense of the top hat and tails, and I'm a professional, as in like he was slick, he was funny, his timing was good, he just seemed like he had, I can't think of the word, he was just polished and brilliant. And I remember being like, holy fuck, that is a real magician. Like, that's what a parlor magician, that's a magician. And he, I don't know, he was just, he seemed like the guy just knew stuff. I can't explain it, but he was, I was so, and I've never ever, I can almost remember the entire lecture he did. And he was just brilliant. Just so good. Oh, wow. Yeah. I remember, like, he's one of those magicians that when you watch them live, I remember thinking, like, he's one of the people that I would want to be when I grow up.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm big. I interviewed him on Magic TV, and he did a fantastic job. Yeah, he was awesome. He was absolutely awesome. If you remember, I got him as one of the videos that we included in the teaser trailer for the Quantum Deck.
Oh, yeah, you did. I still use a couple of the subtleties I learned from that lecture now, from like his diddle trick and some of the other things he did. Yeah, this great subtlety. I do it all the time when I do the diddle trick. He counts five cards into their hand, literally into their hand, and you know the rest. But it's so convincing. Anyway.
Well, I'm going to throw some other stuff that's come out at you. This is an older item. It came out earlier this year, but Penguin are constantly improving it, and I think it's worth shouting this out. They brought out Dragon Scale earlier this year, which is their weighing system to weigh playing cards and so on and so forth. And I got one. It's absolutely amazing. But they've just announced yesterday that they've updated the software and preloaded into Dragon Scale is the stack for ABC, Evoke, Mind Blocks, Snaps.
What?
Yeah, they've loaded.
That's pretty fucking cool.
So Nick has put on a video onto the screen. So it's only a 1 minute video, but it's like Nick performing with like Mind Blocks and Evoke and ABC. And you just see on the watch, like, they just cut and it comes up Ninja, or it comes up like, you know, Boredom or whatever. Like, they've just preloaded into Dragon Scale, and they're going to continue to do so. I've already spoken to them about the Infinity deck, which is going to be on there as well. So they're preloading all of the decks that aren't playing cards, but are decks into Dragon Scale, which I thought was quite nice. You know, the fact that they're supporting it and going to that much effort, I thought that was quite good. Worth shouting out, especially if you've already got a Dragon Scale. Fusion deck. Have you heard of Fusion deck?
No.
Okay. So Fusion deck is a new deck by Patrick Redford. Comes in red or blue. And it's called the most versatile and powerful deck ever designed. It's a Svengali and a stripper deck in one, apparently. With just this one deck, you'll be given the tools and instructions to perform hundreds of effects ranging from Akan to Ambitious Card. Also including this Patrick Redford's devious take on Go Fish. So yeah, it's a fusion deck. It's a Svengali deck and a stripper deck in one.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a genius, Patrick Redford.
He is a genius. I love that guy. I absolutely love
He's literally a genius.
Yes, he is. His work on stacked decks is just incredible. Talking about geniuses and talking about books, you know, we talked about John Armstrong's book, Vanishing Ink, are back with a brand new book. They've just brought out one of my favorite magicians of all time, John Gustafero, has just brought out his third book, The Nth Degree.
Whoa. So because he did one degree was an amazing book.
This is 10, 12 years ago? Yeah, this is called Nth Degree, and it's his brand new book, and he's got some incredible material in there. I've been reading it. Ryan has been reading it. It's very, very good. You talked about the middle trick.
You can't read, Craig.
I got Ryan to read it too.
Has it got lots of pictures?
There's lots of pictures. It was fine. I could work it out from that. But there's a routine called Biddleness. You talk about the Biddle trick. There's a routine called Biddleness, which really it just plays like this. You take five cards, you up jog five cards from five different parts of the deck. You have them look at the five cards and you get them to think of one of them. Just think of one of them. You then take them and put them in their hand. You strip them out and take them and put them in their hand. You give the deck to somebody else and you tell them to name the card that they thought of, or you tell them the card, whichever. They deal through. There's only four cards. Their card's gone, and it's reversed in the middle of the deck, as in Biddle, the Biddle trick. But the thing is here, they're five different cards from five different parts of the deck, and they think of one of those cards, and they never tell you the card. And there's no Biddle move or anything like that. They literally just take the cards out of the deck themselves.
What the fuck?
He's got a version of the Arrogance. You know that thing that everybody was doing on virtual shows where you take the cards into... He's got a close-up version of that, which is just incredible. It's one of the best books I've ever read, genuinely.
He had an amazing vanish. You take four court cards, all of the same value, so like four jacks or four kings, whatever it is. And then you take... and you have them... So you have them in your mechanics grip, and you take one card from the deck, like, you know, the selected card, and you place it between, like, so you have the two black kings on the bottom, two red kings on the top, and you place that selected card between those four, so it's like in the third position, and then it would vanish. And I need to refresh my memory on what it was, but I used to do it all the time, because it was such a clever sleight to make the card vanish, and you would end like... I think he would end like super clean or something, but it was just so, so brilliant. I need to refresh my memory on it. I seen him lecture at the Sesh convention about, I don't know, what year are we in now? Probably about 14 years ago. And I seen it there, and it's phenomenal. I need to refresh my memory on it. But he's so clever. So many clever little touches and subtleties, and everything's so smooth, so well, cleverly like woven together in his routines. Now I'm going to furiously be trying to remember what that move was. Yes, the jacks on this deck.
Well, he's got another routine in the book where, and it's like one of the best packet tricks I've ever seen. He brings out four blank cards. What's that writing where you look at it one way and you look at it the other way and it changes what the word is?
Cryptext or an ambigram.
Yeah, cryptext or ambigram, one of those. He tells you how to actually make it. But he's got these four blank cards. And he shows them the four blank faced cards. He takes takes out a card and it says jacks on it. He just puts the jack on. He just puts the card on the table so the audience can see jacks. And now when you look at the blank cards, now they've turned into four jacks. And then he says, watch this. And he doesn't switch the packet, no, nothing. So the four cards are printed into four jacks. He takes the card on the table and turns it round. And on the other way round, it looks like aces. And now when he turns over the cards, now they've turned into four aces.
What?
Yeah. So, what? So much really good stuff in there. I know you like this. It's probably one of the best books of commercial card magic I've ever read. Wow, really, really awesome. Yeah, Vanishing Ink of hit it out the park. And then it's like buses, isn't it, mate? It's like buses. You wait ages for a good vanishing deck, and then two come along at the same time. We've got two vanishing decks that are being released on the same day. Now, the first one is James Anthony's Ultimate Vanishing Deck, or UVD. Have you seen that?
I think I have.
Yeah, Ultimate Vanishing Deck by James Anthony. Obviously, James is a really good guy, and his Ultimate Vanishing Deck. The Ultimate Vanishing
Deck. It's quite a clever method from what I remember, I think.
Yeah, a groundbreaking illusion conceived by the creative mind of James Anthony. Imagine making a deck of cards vanish at your fingertips, leaving behind a spectator's chosen and signed card that can immediately be handed out as a souvenir. The gimmick has been made using precision engineering with robust plastics, blah, 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 blah. Ready to go, not tested for road tested for 7 years. It's very good. You look at it, you look at the trailer, and it actually looks really good. What's nice about it is, unlike a lot of vanishing decks, you see the sides of the deck as well. You can see the sides and the front.
That's cool.
Which is really good. So that's the first vanishing deck. And the other one is somebody who you're well aware of. A lot of people said that this was the trick of the convention at the Blackpool Magic Convention this year. Sold out in one day. Henry Ferris with his...
Dude, huge. I'm a huge, huge fan of Henry.
Me too. Henry is going to have a very big future in this industry. Mark my words. He is one of the most creative. How that kid... can create the every time I see him, he's got a pocket full of gimmicks and he's showing me this crazy shit.
Yeah.
Each one of them could be like a brand new release in its own right, and he's just like showing me this stuff, and I'm like, Henry, this is insane. And you don't realize this, but not only you might not, I only found out about this because I interviewed him for Magic TV. He's not just a magician. Obviously he's 14, you know, if people don't know, but as well as creating all this incredible magic, he's a ventriloquist. He vents. As well as that,
is he?
He's a ventriloquist, an incredible ventriloquist. As well as that, he is a drummer. He actually loves drumming more than he does magic, and he practices drumming every single day. And it was like
more than magic.
I was speaking to him in the interview. He's like, he's like, I come home, get my homework done. I spend 2 hours just practicing drumming every day. And then after that, then I'll spend the rest of the night creating card gimmicks and practicing magic. Like, the guy is so committed. It's unbelievable. And he's also one of the nicest people I've ever met. Like, when I was at the session, Ryland didn't really know a lot of people. And so he was hanging with me the whole time, which was fine. But there was this one day I was sitting there with Matt, and Ryland was just like sitting there a bit bored. And Henry just brought him over and said, hey, come over here with us, Ryland, come on. You know, and just took him under his wing, and he does that an awful lot. He's
such a sweet. Do you know, actually, I had a phone call about a week ago, and very fucking really, I answered the phone. So I don't know what the fuck. And because I didn't recognize the number, and I hear this voice saying, hi Lloyd, it's Henry Ferris here. I couldn't even get a word in. He said, I'm just calling to say thank you so much. I was like, oh, what for? And he was like, for all the help you give me and filming me and all the advice you give me with Evaporate, blah, 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 blah. Without you and Craig, this would never have been released, and it wouldn't be. And he just went like just blurting it all out. And it was really, really kind of, I was like, oh, dude, like, yeah, I'm going to say thank you to me. You created the trip. Like, you got the success completely on your own. Well done. But it was like super nice. Like, you know what I mean? To just ring someone up and just. It was just super. He's just a sweetheart. But real talk about the trick. For me, I absolutely fucking love the Vanishing Deck plot. And I have obviously have a bunch of my own variations of it. And I've seen so many variations, like obviously the original version by Paul Harris, Humbug by Angelo Carbone, Riot by Dan Haas, Justin Miller's versions, unreleased versions, my versions that use like lenticular cards or optical illusions to make them vanish. There are impromptu ones out there that uses like the white of cards and stuff. I'm pretty confident I've seen
Don't
all the
forget
vanishing decks out there.
one that I need to throw in there because it is a very good vanishing
The
deck.
Theory 11 one by Yonoha.
No, the one that everyone always forgets when they talk about vanishing decks because it's a completely different method, but it deserves to be in that list. Level One by Christian Grace.
Oh, level one by Christian Grace. Yeah, all of them. But I'm gonna go out and say it now. Henry's is the best. It's the
Yes,
best one.
I agree.
It's the best
I
one. And I know it's annoying because he's literally half my fucking age. Less than half, but more than half my age. And I've been trying my entire like magic career to create a brilliant vanishing deck that is slow motion, visual, and practical. And I've watched him perform that. You know, realistically, I've watched him perform that 50 times, and it looks the same every time. It's instantly resettable. There's so much you can do with it. It's the best one. And there's no, that's not to take away from the other creators because they all have their own benefits, pros and cons to it. But for me personally, like tastes in music and food, Henry's is the best one.
I
It's
agree. I
phenomenal.
agree completely. It really is. Henry is, and I can't wait for people to see what else he's got. Like he, when I saw him last time, he showed me this insane trick. He took a card, he tore the corner off. He had the corner of the, he had the card with the corner torn off just there. He put it down. He took the torn corner, and the torn corner literally on its own moved over to the card where the corner had been torn off, literally moved on its own and then attached itself. And he just gave it me out to look at.
Redonkulous.
Like, I know. And he comes up with stuff like this every day. But Henry's amazing. If you haven't got Evaporate, go and get it. If I was James Anthony, I would have held off on the Ultimate Vanishing deck, to be honest, for a month or two. But, you know. Whatever, they're both out. They both have their pros and cons, but I would agree with you. I
Well,
think
you
Henry's
know,
the
that's the
best.
thing with James Anthony is you can show three sides of the deck, so there's certain circumstances where that's going to be for some performers the more beneficial, effective form. I'm not. There's so many great vanishing decks out there, and I feel bad saying like I have a personal favorite or one is better than the others because that really doesn't sound fair. But for me, like the style of magic that I create and perform, that's the one that fits me best, you know. And I think he's just put so much good work into it. It's just brilliant. Like it's really, really good.
I agree completely.
And for his age as well. Not that you should take age into any factor when it comes to creating and releasing products, but it does add a fucking pretty impressive slant on it on top of how good it is too.
I agree. I agree completely. Big things ahead for that young man. Big things ahead. Talking about Alakazam, by the way, I haven't released an Alakazam trick this year, which is kind of weird. But
Is the
my
world going
first
to end?
Alakazam.
What in the
Well, no,
WT fuck is happening?
my first Alakazam trick is coming out this year on Thursday. I'm doing a live launch this Thursday. So, everyone on the cafe, get ready. Fingertips at the ready, boys. I got an Alakazam trick coming out. And Pete probably won't want me to tell people what it is ahead of time. So, naturally, I'm going to.
Yeah,
It's.
tell me what it is. I don't give a fuck. Oh
Well,
wait, we haven't talked about his big shiny ball bag
Oh, well, this is a good
glistening.
opportunity. Peter Nardi has a big, massive, shiny ball bag, and that's not
It,
a
at
commission
times
that I
it's so smooth. It's like he's Botoxed his balls to look like doorknobs, you know, like chrome doorknobs. I stare at that little fuzzy bean bag and I just see my own face like in the back of a spoon staring back at me. Beautiful. Set of
Have
nuggets.
you seen that new thing that's happening on YouTube at the moment on the shorts? So on the shorts, they're doing this thing. I saw it the other day, where it's kind of showing how clean your car is. And what they do is they have the video start, and it's something happening. The one I saw, a kid was doing backflips in a garden, and then the camera zooms out, and you're actually looking at the reflection in the car that's just being cleaned. So you
Yes,
can see how
yes.
clean the car is. We should do that with Harry doing a card trick, and it starts with Harry doing a card trick, and when the camera pulls out, it's actually a reflection of Harry doing a card
trick. His dick just slaps you in the face. It just falls down and clocks you on the forehead. Oh, by anyway, the way, so now that we have everyone's attention, tell us exactly about the trick.
Nobody gives a fuck anymore. It's another one of my projects. You know, like I said, my first project back in this community was the Visible Project, all about the invisible deck. And then off the back of that, I did the Cheek to Cheek Project, Cheeky, all about the Cheeky deck. I did Forecast with the 1914, all about Memdex. I did the Beyond Stebbins Project, which was all about Stebbins.
Let me guess. Oh, no, you say it. I'm probably going to guess it. There's only two that it could be.
It's my favorite gimmick deck. And I've finally got around to doing the doing a project on it. Well,
the Quantum Deck 2.
No.
Oh, sorry. The Infinity Deck.
No, it's my favorite gimmick deck.
Oh, sorry. The Invisible Deck. The Invisible Deck.
No, I've done the Invisible Deck.
Which one is your favorite?
The Mirage Deck.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good fucking deck.
So this is the Mirage Deck project. The only thing that people
this use... This is the Mirage deck, right? It's a Svengali deck that you can spread face up as well.
Yeah, so it's a Svengali deck, rough and smooth. And it's... Fuck. But normally, if you were... You know, most BGT acts that want to have a card force, they're probably going to use that because it is the cleanest way on camera to get somebody to pick a card because you can spread through the deck face up, you can spread through it face down, they can touch a card, it will be the card that they want. And because it's short and long, like a Svengali deck, you can do shuffles and riffle shuffles and it'll stay intact. All good, but nobody ever uses it for anything else other than the control. A couple of people have, you know, the late great Tom Peterson put a really nice card stab out years ago, but very few people have done anything with it. This is a really in-depth project.
I think Craig Petty presents 19 ACANs with a Mirage deck.
No, I think there's 20. In all seriousness, there's about 35 routines, and I think only
fuck.
I think only three of them are ACANs, but there's a really cool version of ACAN where it's called any card, any name on any card at any number. And you have somebody think of a name. So they think of a name. You have somebody else think of a card.
Fred.
Yeah, you have someone think of a name. You have someone think of a position in the deck, and you have somebody else think of a card. And then what happens is you take the deck and you deal. And when you deal, the card at that position is put to one side. You show all the other cards. They're all different. There's nothing written on them. And when you take the card at the position that they named and you turn it over, it's the named card, and printed big and bold on the face of it is the name of the person who they thought of.
Holy shit, bulb. How? I was going to say, how the fuck do you... That's so good. I don't know how you do it.
And
well, there, I want to talk about it.
There, named after you as well, called Lloyd.
What?
There's a trick in there called Lloyd.
Is it? It's all about a little fat king in there.
It's all about... it's a version of...
Cannibal Kings, but instead it's they fuck sheep. Jokers or something.
No, it's a version to you, of the you know, like that Fred or the named card, you know, like I name that card Fred. It's a version of that, but it's like a three phase version, and you make a prediction at the beginning, so you openly write a prediction and you put it to one side. Okay. And you bring out a deck of cards and you show that all of the cards are different, but then you show the backs and you've got a different name written on the back of every card. So all of the cards have got different names written on the back of them, and all of the cards on the front are normal. You have someone name any card. They name a card. And when they name a card, you have somebody else think of any name, and they match. So the name that the first person thought of, yeah, which is really cool. And then the second one is you have there's a second phase and a third phase, but it finishes off as somebody names any card. And when they name the card, they put it to one side and you say, my prediction's been there the whole time. You show all the cards have got different names on the back of it. And you wrote Lloyd on your business card from the very beginning. And when they turn over their card, it's got Lloyd written on the back of it.
Whoa. That sounds fucking amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a um there's a version of there's a slow motion sandwich routine with no sleight of hand. You take a deck of cards, you have someone pick a card, they lose it in the pack, and it could be any card. It's not a force card. A lot of these don't rely on people picking the force card, but they pick any card, and you take out two jokers from your pocket with big black crosses put on them. You put the crosses on top of the deck and on the bottom of the deck, and you snap your fingers. And when you do, the crosses vanish and you spread through the deck. And now they're together in the deck with one card in between them, and it's their card. And you say, "Look, I tell you what, I'll
Oh,
do
that's
it again."
cool.
You take the crosses back out and you put them on the top and the bottom. And you say, "Watch, boom." And you spread through, and the first one's gone about five cards down, the second one's gone about five cards up. Then boom, the next they go further down and further down. It's like a slow motion sandwich routine using the crosses on
Oh,
the back of the
wow.
card. And when I actually showed that to Andy Gladwin, he turned around and he said, "That fooled me completely. I've got no idea how you did that. That was awesome."
Wow. I haven't seen that routine.
It's really good.
Want to see it.
So yeah, there's a ton of material on there, but that's launching on Thursday. The Mirage Deck Project. So that'll be super fun.
Yeah, I want to fucking see that.
I don't know if there's anything else. Just quickly, but I don't
Should
see.
tell Pete to get it on pre-order for the podcast now, unless and just have a discount code like 10% off.
10% off. Get Pete on the
Well,
phone.
they have like 24 hours. The discount code could be magic ball bag. No, it could just be magic podcast.
Magic podcast. I'll speak to Pete.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll speak to Pete. Pete's got lots of money. He'll give us a discount.
We need to decide for him like right now because this is going to go out live in a few hours.
It's gonna go out in a few hours. It really is. Yes, it is. Fuck yeah. I mean, I let that
Go on the
well.
web. Go on Alakazam's website. If you see a pre-order page for what's it called?
The Mirage Deck Project.
Mirage Deck Project. Try and put in your card and discount code Magic Podcast for 10% off. And if it works, you're welcome. If it doesn't work, blame
Fuck it.
Craig.
Blame me. Why am I getting the blame here?
Yeah, because I just realized your head looks like Peter's testicles.
I'm proud of
It's
it.
like someone just drew cartoon glasses right by his taint.
Well, I'm at Halloween this year. I think I'm going to cosplay as Nardi's ball sack. I think that'll be very, very exciting. So I'm going to maybe me and Nemid will stand next, our heads next to each other, and we'll just be Nardi's bollocks. That'll be great.
What a load of bollocks.
I don't think there's any other products that I can see. Not that I know of. If there is, I've missed it. So
I did
although
see one really good thing, which I think is a great what's it called? Like stepping stone into the Vanishing Ink masterclasses. They are offering a trial which gives you access to every masterclass for a week, I think, for like a dollar. Something ridiculous.
very good.
Yeah. So literally I think it's like 250 hours of masterclasses to watch for a quid for a week. So you can dip your toes in the water and see if you would like it or not, and then proceed forward with the subscription if you do. But I think that's really good. I think it's a really good deal. And it's a good gateway to get in there.
Yeah, and I did my podcast, I did my masterclass, and it was very well received. So you can even access mine. So there you go. But I'm trying to see if there's anything else, but I can't see anything else, Lloyd. I think that's really all that there is in terms of new releases, I think. Although I will give people a little bit of a sneak peek. I have found out on the grapevine that there is going to be a brand new Mark Mason release coming this Friday for pre-order. It's not been announced yet. I'm not going to be able to say much about it. But if you're at Blackpool and you saw a trick with a couple of cards, one red, one blue, that is coming out for pre-order this Friday. I don't know what I'm allowed to say, so I'm not going to say anything else.
Huh. I
Very, very,
think I
very.
know what it is.
Yeah, very, very, very exciting. It's incredible. I did it on my channel, gave it a good review, and a lot of people were saying, when can you get it? Well, that time is now. That time is now. So there you go. That's good. In other news, by the way, it's the Magic Circle convention this weekend.
Is it? That seems like it's, it seems like they had a Magic Circle convention like 3 weeks ago, or was it last year?
It was last year.
I'm skipping away.
But I think a lot of people do confuse the Magic Circle convention with the London Magic Convention. They get the two of them confused, I think, because they're both in London.
No, I honestly feel like you were down at the London, at the Magic Circle convention, or did they like an open like Dealers Day or something? Because there's a lot of events there, right?
Yeah, but there was some YMC stuff going on, but I don't think that, no, this is the third year. They've got some great, Hayashi is going to be lecturing there.
Ah, cool. He's sick.
Hayashi. And Debbie McGee is doing a Q&A.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, the lovely Debbie McGee. So there's going to be some cool stuff. There's going to be some cool stuff. If anybody's at the convention, I will have a stand. I'll be there with Matt. So me and Matt will be doing our thing. Demonstrate. Well, I'll be demonstrating. Matt will be looking pretty. No Ryland at the convention. We're not taking Ryland with us.
What? Why?
Sarah told me.
Is it because you're sick of being in his shadow?
No, well, there's that. Obviously, that's an ongoing issue. But no. Sarah put her foot down and said I couldn't take him. And I was like, why? And she basically, the reason is, by the time we finish, because there's the gala show afterwards, by the time we finish at the convention, it's going to be about maybe 9. I'm not going to get him back till midnight, which is fine. We've done that before. He'll just sleep in the car. Other than the fact that next week, he's got his SATs exams all week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are his SATs. And she turned around to me and she said, you can't have him all out all day Sunday and get him back in the early hours of the morning, regardless of him sleeping in the car or not sleeping in the car, when he's got to be at school at 8 o'clock the next day to do SATs exams.
That's actually, is he fuming?
I'm like, stop speaking like a head teacher. You're not a head teacher now.
Is he livid though?
He's so pissed. He understands.
Yeah.
He understands.
I want to be emancipated from my family. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Hang on, I can't go to the Magic Circle. What bollocks is this?
Although he's been to so many conventions, by that age, I was still like shitting in my hands and rubbing it on the fridge, you know?
Yeah, he does that as well. So that's, you know, that's always fun. Have we got anything to talk about? Anything else to talk about? Have you got Sorry Not Sorry? I feel like we delved into Sorry Not Sorry earlier on today.
I feel that we opened with that.
I think we kind of led with the Sorry Not Sorry, and you know, it was kind of like open therapy session for me with you, which was always fun. Yeah. Before we wrap this up, because just so you know, Lloyd has got a podcast day today, because you're going to be jumping on with Jake after this, aren't you?
Yes, going to do the Black Art podcast. So if you're looking for something else to listen to and you want to just hear, generally, me and Jake will every week. We don't talk about anything to do with magic, the magic industry. We just purely create. I think almost every single episode, we create at least one brand new trick live on air. And then some of our listeners go off and actually like film them, perform them, share them. And it's a good way to see, to get inspired to create new tricks. And we actually like come up with a few like some absolute slamming effects on there. So
you do.
Yeah, super fun. Something a bit different.
It's an incredible podcast. The only problem with it is, as far as I'm aware, there's not enough talk about Peter Nardi's balls. I mean, that's, you know, it's just...
That's true. We need to create a trick for his testicles.
Yeah, you really need to. That's my challenge to you and Jake. Create a Peter Nardi's testicle magic trick. It can be a package.
Well, I've got those little, like, perpetual motion swinging ball sets, and then instantly a ring appears on one of the strings in the middle.
You're already working on the
third ball.
I will say as well, every Saturday I do an interview on Talk Magic on my channel, and this Saturday I've got probably my favorite interview that I've ever done.
I'm not doing another one.
It was even better than yours. It was incredible. I've got an hour and a half interview with the legend that is Jack Rhodes.
Oh shit! Oh my god, love Jack. He's the best. Is he gonna win BGT? I think he could.
I
He's gonna
turn around to him.
Gremlin.
This is the year that a magician wins. Like he was so he's got everything that you need to win. He's got like an interesting story that he gave up a job as a nuclear engineer to do this. He's got a really unique style.
He's
He's
just
got a good.
personable, likable. He's
He's
highly
likable.
intelligent,
People,
highly
yeah.
creative.
And he's got a big following because of YouTube. And I said to him, I said, one of the things that he's done, and you've done it in a way as well, but not as much as Jack, is that his YouTube channel is as viewed, it's as popular with lay people as it is with magicians. Like Magic
Yeah.
TV, you're only going to watch it if you're a magician. Now, I know your stuff is mainly magicians, but you do have you do have people that are interested in magic that will watch your shorts as well. But Jack, like I was doing a gig a little while ago, and I
Yeah,
told him this on camera.
he's not just a fantastic magician, he's a brilliant comedian, like stand-up comic. And so he sort of writes for both. He writes the magic he performs, magicians like, because it's creative, and at the same time it's engaging with everyone because he's fucking hilarious. He's if he wasn't like the nicest person on earth, I'd hate his fucking guts out of pure jealousy. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
sure. Yeah. Awesome.
If I
And I
didn't
said
want to
that
be
to him. I said,
inside him, I'd want to bury him.
That's the other thing as well. He's really good looking. He makes me sick. He makes me sick to my stomach. But, you
Yeah,
know.
I'm truly jealous of him and his success. So
But
I
that
fucking
was.
hate him.
But that's yeah, I hate him as well. I hate him and Simon Lipkin for the same reasons. They're both
Oh
incredibly
yeah,
successful,
he's another one.
nice,
Just good at
talented,
everything.
good looking. Yeah, he's just
That's why I
yeah.
don't hate you, because you're shit at everything. So it's like, there's nothing to hate.
I am. It's
Worthless.
true. It's true. I'm fucking rubbish at everything.
Multi-award winning creator of the year. Best, you're nobody.
I'm
And
just
then
too.
whatever they say about you is right.
It is true.
You can't check the deck. Right? You can't even look at it. Keep your eyes closed. No checking. You liar. Don't even do the trick, because you're lying. You know when you show in the live multiple live performances, the audience can check the deck? Well, that was AI, motherfucker. Taught you out. You're using robots. You're using robots. You hired some fake Magic Cafe accounts to come down to the live filming, and then they pretended to check it when they really didn't. And then they wrote bullshit about you, and you deserve it.
Thanks, Lloyd. I appreciate that. Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. That's what I say.
Stop creating good tricks and being
I'll
honest in your
try.
trailers, and
Maybe.
maybe you can get on.
So much to say in such little time to do it. I'll tell you something. I will mention one other thing. I don't normally talk here about the Netrix, but I just want to say that early announcement. We're announcing this on Friday, but the newest instructor on the Netrix is going to be officially announced on Friday, and he's launching on Monday with five brand new routines, and that's Rich Relish.
Oh, fucking genius. He's a
Yeah.
fucking genius.
He's incredible. And I've been wanting to put more mentalism on the Netrix, so obviously I reached out to Rich. Why wouldn't you? And like he has fucking delivered. Like some of the stuff that he's put together for it, but for launch, is just incredible. So I'm really excited about people
Call
seeing
in the
that.
midwife because he fucking delivers.
He fucking does. He really does.
He is a genius. Oh well, if you're plugging your shit, I have just a quick one. I put up a masterclass on my Patreon for it's something called the Razor Stack. Did I put this before? Right.
No, talk to me.
Every time I used to I performed with the moniker for years, right? And I watched loads of other magicians using the moniker, like Ali Wynn, David Blaine, and Doug McKenzie, and pretty much the majority of the tricks that everyone does using the moniker, or in fact, almost exclusively, are all about roughly the same walk around tricks in terms of like just having a card named and cut to it, or you find it, A cans, card to pocket, wallet, stuff like that. And every time I would post a video on YouTube, people would say, I can't learn mnemonica, or it's really difficult, or how do I learn mnemonica, blah, 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 blah. And it got me thinking, like, how can I like help people? And like very quickly discovered or sort of worked on this idea of something called the Razor Stack, which is a stack which allows you to do every main trick that you perform with mnemonica and more. But the difference is that the stack can be learned in not even 60 seconds, like 30 seconds. And you can literally learn it in like 30 seconds. And I got a video, I perform a full set to Kaylee of like name cards appearing, card to wallet, every trick that I do with mnemonica, plus one final bonus trick, which you just cannot do with mnemonica, which is annoyingly stronger than like all the other tricks. And I realized that I could have saved like 15 years of my life, literally, if I'd created the Razor Stack before. And anyway, I put it up on my Patreon. It's free if you're a paid member, or you can just purchase the download as an individual thing. It's like really cheap, like I don't know, $20. And the reviews I'm getting are fucking blowing me away. So I'm really thankful for everyone that's like got it and watched it. And so if you've ever wanted to like take a deck, apparently shuffle it, you know, so you take it, shuffle it, you can show the cards are all mixed, and then before, like literally just if you cut, like, you know, tricks where you cut and you know exactly how many cards they've got in their hand, or eight cans, name card comes to the top. Every core trick that you see, like everyone doing, like the big guys doing with mnemonica, you can do pretty much all of that, and some incredible like bonus stuff at the end. But you can learn it in 30 seconds, and it's a piece of piss. It was kind of like a big revelation for me with my magic when I sort of came upon it. So, yeah, if you are interested in stack work, but you, for whatever reason, struggle to learn it, don't have time to learn it, don't want to learn it, but you want to be able to do all the tricks, that I say that, you know, all the main tricks, then, that's something I was really excited to share with people.
Wow. What I might do is I might do that as a Matt test, because a few months ago, I tried to get Matt to learn mnemonica, and he failed miserably because he's a lazy twat.
I'll send it over to you,
dude. Well, I'm a Patreon member, don't forget.
Oh yeah, go to patreon.com/LloydB and you can find it in the store on there, in the instant download store, or you can just sign up as a full member and you'll get it free with like 30 odd other things.
Wow, that's fucking sick. Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me about this? I didn't know about this.
I tend not to like my Patreon stuff, especially. I've shared like one performance of a trick on there on my social media, and I only shared the link to this. I don't, it does so well without promotion, I just don't tend to promote it. But if anyone wants it, then yeah, but I'll show it to you, man. I think you'll dig it.
I want to see it. I want to fucking see it. That's, you know, I love stack deck work.
It's called the Razor Stack. It's actually really cool. And there's the bonus trick at the end, it completely fucked Kaylee's world up, because she knows about stack work. So I performed to her like four or five effects. And I'd say, like, you're going to know pretty much the crux of what's going on here, or you're going to think you do. And then at the end, I do something and it sort of wipes away every method she had.
Wow, that's sick. Excellent. Dude, so where can people go to your Patreon?
Patreon.com/LloydB. LLOYDB. Or just search Lloyd Barnes and Patreon and it'll come up.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Dude, I'm going to do a mat test on that. I love that. That's brilliant.
Thanks, man. That's awesome. And anyway, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for Thursday for Craig's Alakazam release. I can't wait to fucking get one. The Mirage. Is it called the Mirage Project or something?
I think it's called the Mirage Deck Project, yeah.
I can't fucking wait for that. Especially now because I'm naming it, so.
You've got a trick name.
You've well and truly massaged my ego.
There you go. Although when I bought out the Nightshade coin set, I managed to get Pete to agree for what it was 60 routines on the Nightshade coin set. And it took 4 days to film. like from 9 till 10, 4 days in a row, just to do the tutorials. And Pete was in the editing room. He was doing like live editing. And I think he got to the point where he was losing the will to live. So towards the end, he wasn't really listening. And so I was able to sneak some stuff past him. So there's genuinely a trick on the Nightshade coin set called Two Guys, One Cup.
Two guys, one cunt.
Normally it's very wholesome and family friendly at Alakazam, but I've managed to sneak some stuff past the past
if you don't know what two girls, one cup is, it is quite fun, you know. Two guys in a cup. That's quite innocent. Just two guys sharing a drink.
What's vomit inducing? It was me and Wayne Goodman on camera at the time.
Just shitting in each other's mouths. Gargling it up. Like fucking chocolate milk shaped on a 4-year-old. Sorry. Welcome to the Magic Podcast.
Welcome to the Magic Podcast. You need to get your mind out of the gutter, man. You're going to go and be all professional with Jake now. So you go and do that.
Yeah, there's that.
And I'm hoping that we'll have another podcast this month. It depends on whether Lloyd answers my text messages. Because I'm a good boy now and I don't harass him with phone calls. So if I try to phone him and he doesn't answer, I text him. And if he doesn't answer my text, I've literally got no means of communicating with him because I'm not going to phone him again. So...
That works so well for me though. Although I fucking no, yeah, you wonder why, right?
Here we go.
8:19 a.m. Yo, you there, mate? It wasn't even 8:20 in the morning. What the fuck? What? You know those people that get up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym and fucking live their life?
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. So you might be halfway through your fucking day and think it's appropriate to text someone who's got a 3-year-old at that time of the day. But I'll tell you, I read that text. And I fucking deleted it and waited until I was ready to get back to you. I was like, who the fuck texts at 8:20? Unless it was first of all, I thought, he's dead. And I thought, well, nah, he would have called me if someone was dead. And then I was like, well, this is just ridiculous.
Well, you know, most people at 8:20, they're probably on the way to work. It's kind of like a normal kind of like time to text people. I do a lot of my business between 8:00 and 9:00 while I'm, you know, kind of getting ready for the working day.
But Lloyd doesn't. Lloyd lives the life of Riley. Lloyd likes to go to the beach with his dog so you can watch him shit on the sand at that time of the day. Not fucking work.
Oh dear me!
No. Right, I've had a full. Well, I'm losing the will to live. I'm getting distracted by my phone now, so that means it's over.
Wrap it up, Lloyd.
Have a shit week, you cunt.
Well, he said we'll be back again soon. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next week. Maybe not. Look, just when you get the notification, listen to the fucking shit. But we'll be back whenever the fuck we're back.
Nobody listens to the podcast, Greg. We might lose our two listeners by the end of this one.
That's you and me. So we're probably fine. We'll be back again soon. I'm Craig. This is Lloyd. We are the Magic Podcast. And obviously, as you can tell by now, we just don't give a shit.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.